The next slide, please. Thank you. Here, I'm going to share a bit of the service of lament that I did in the Pacific Mountain area. There was the uncovering of the bodies in Port Alberni, which was a United Church residential school on Vancouver Island, and the work of that community continues. So they did a ground penetrating radar analysis, and they gave the phase one of that into the next portion. So for the families and their descendants, there was a reckoning of sorts to bring this understanding of what the church did and how this impacted the community. So a church that oftentimes we think of as a benevolent force in the community, very different mindset. And so it's curious to try to work through where we have been as a denomination, to really live through and own up to that. This is ongoing work, not just for United Church of Canada. It's the work that's happening in the Anglican Church and the Catholic Church more recently with the apology from the Pope and other sort of repercussions around that. So here from Psalm 127, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. In our traditional teaching from the Stoney people, as the Indigenous minister trying to bring connection of our traditional teaching into this, our understanding is that children are a gift from God and that they are loaned to us. They are not ours to possess, not ours to own or to instruct. They're ours to share with and to love and to help nurture into a healthy life. And so this was our traditional teaching. And go to the next slide, please. So in our way, when Sitting Bull from the Hung Papa Sioux in the South Dakota area came north, one of his statements around seeing a family member hit a younger child was that this was never done in our communities. We didn't know this violence to a child because all children are gifts and we don't treat them in that fashion. And yet today we see that internal violence happening in communities, that internal violence happening through different types of abuse happening that we impose upon ourselves. Show us how much we have changed as a people and also how much our society has influenced the way that we are today. In our traditional teaching, the child is a gift. And if that child, as happened in my sister's case, which should pass away from, that was in that instance, it was called SIDS. And in that instance, would go through a lot of mourning and a lot of soul searching to determine why this happened and what was going on. And yet in our traditional way, that understanding of children as a gift is something that we nurture into and may be taken by the Creator at any point. And so we honor that gift. We give blessing for that gift. And we help do as much as we can to help nurture that vision of how that person will be as an adult growing up. The next screen, please. In our teaching, the traditional teaching for the Indigenous people, we have a similar teaching to this from Proverbs 17. Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. In our tradition, the elderly, the ancestors, the those that operate as elders and matriarchs, patriarchs for our families, are honored and revered. They are taken care of. They are given space within our homes, and they are listened to, often sharing stories and understandings from long ago. This teaching is a way of connecting our heritage into the present, a way of bringing those stories and understandings, those challenges, into new light through that next generation, to give them some tools that they may work with in the time ahead. And so the loss of those children, the loss of their lives and the meaning behind it, is a void within our communities. Those voices no longer resound of the children who were found in the mass graves, who were discarded. And so we think about what is the mindset that allows that to happen, that perpetrates that crime, and those around them that cover it up. Next screen, we'll have our next Stony hymn.
Ekote patiman ke kane kiskota tonana ekote patiman ke kane kis kota tonana.
Next slide, please. This connection that we begin to see between our past and where we are presently comes to a interconnection with the work that was done on my reserve in Morley, called the Ecumenical Conference. And when the graph goes up, you'll see that this is one of the images that I continue to work with in many of our sessions around where we are in our history. The origin of Indigenous Day came from Morley, came from our elders in community who said that we needed a day of prayer. And so they started an Indian Day of Prayer on June 21st in 1971. This was adopted by the General Council, General Council 24 in 1971, and by the Anglican Church. This was done for the duration of the 1970s, every year observance of the Indian Day of Prayer. The Anglican Church continued on. It dwindled in the early 80s for the United Church. In the Anglican Church, they continued observing this day of prayer for 50 years. So it continues to be observed today, every June 21st, by the entire church. And so this day of prayer, June 21st, the summer solstice, was significant. It became an action moving forward that became adopted, as we see at the top, as Aboriginal Day in 1996, was later instituted after the federal apology by Stephen Harper in 2008. 2009 is when they instituted Aboriginal History Month. And in 2017, that was changed to Indigenous Peoples Day and Indigenous History Month. And so these connections to history are drawn by the advocacy and the input of Indigenous people. Much like we see the apologies. The apologies began with Alberta Billy, who was a Wiwakai elder, who spoke to General Council saying that they needed to apologize to what they did to the children in residential school. And in 1980, colonials, that apology came forward. It was an apology for colonialism and sort of missed the mark on what they were talking about in terms of this violence that had happened to the children, these deaths that had occurred, this trauma that was still being lived out in community. And so in 1998, the late Dr. Reverend Bill Phipps delivered that apology for the residential schools, and that triggered the class action suit in Ottawa with Phil Fontaine and all of the survivors. And the resolution was the apology from Stephen Harper and the Truth and Reconciliation Commission Canada did not want to do the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, but it was part of this agreement that this had to happen, that the truth had to be known, had to be told. And out of that study came the calls to action. And at that same time, the completion of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People was also added into this by moderator Jordan Cantwell to the United Church polity, to the United Church doctrine, and how we are to live out this framework of reconciliation. The next page, please. In this work, we have traveled all throughout the region, throughout the province, throughout Western Canada, delivering some of these instructions. I'll be doing a blanket exercise in Ottawa in November. And so continuing this outreach, continuing this work of bringing information and an open dialogue. We're also going to be training individual youth from the Kainai First Nation to deliver their own blanket exercise, one that is specific to Blackfoot culture, one that is specific to their history and their encounter with the churches, the Anglican and Catholic churches, and how they want to present that and some of their history in relation to the people. Next slide, please. And so our scripture from the Gospel of Mark from the First Nation version says, "When Creator sets free Jesus, saw what his followers were doing, it made him angry, and so he said to them, 'Let the little children come to me. Do not turn them away. Creator's good road belongs to the ones who are like these children. I speak from my heart. The only way onto Creator's good road is to become as trusting as a little child.' He then took the children into his arms, laid hands on them, and blessed them." The next slide, please. As we live out the current issues around the apology, we have Alberta Billy, we have our activities going on at the Morley Reserve, we have the Pope's apology at the bottom, we have the Port Alberni gathering, and they did their ceremonies along with the rollout of this report, and the children that continue to learn and benefit from the voices of those that have gone on. So those children, what we say is those children of our past, those children from the graves, continue to speak to us, continue to instruct us, continue to abide with us in this work, and that we will do justice for them. The next slide, please. This picture is, you can see in the background, is the McDougall Church. And this was an early picture of children at the site. There was, at this time, a teepee that would be set up by my great-grandfather, Walking Buffalo, and he would come to this space and be in relationship with the missionaries, with the McDougall family, with others from that. My father would go to this church and do communion with our other pastor from our reserve, Lazarus Wesley. So the elders took part. The elders came and were sharing. There was also a time in the 1960s, 1970s, when the people of Hillhurst community got up. They all went out to the Morley Church, Morley United Church, and they all came for a service one Sunday a year. And they filled the church. They came and participated and were part of the ongoing work of building relationship. And so over time, these have devolved. These times have changed. And so it is this time of remembering, this time of call that tells us that there's a history that we can be proud of and an understanding that we need to know. So next slide, please. This is a video by one of our friends, Wendy Walker. takes some time to load. While we are waiting for that to load, there is a lot of work being done in our communities right now. And the work that I've done throughout Southern Alberta during the Lenten time and during this phase for the Indigenous History Month is to seek to reconnect people to one another. Oftentimes, what has happened with our churches is that if someone is not preaching what one wants to hear, then they often go to another church, or they'll leave and depart the denomination, go to another denomination. And so there's this picking and choosing, and we fracture our faith in that way. And so when it comes time to bringing together people for the work of reconciliation, it's something we can't do alone. It's something we need to do as community, something we need to do in support of one another, and to find ways of bridging and repairing those gaps so that work of reconciliation is already at the forefront of the work of reconciliation, because we need to repair what where we have been and what we are doing. Is this video going to work? No. Perhaps not. If not, we will go to the final hymn. So that work that we are continuing to do is an invitation. Right now, we are looking for connectors to the McDougall Church that has received a number of grants to do this reconciliation work, to work across the region, the Southern Calgary node, that we can start to build in some resiliency, because there's only a limited number of people in each group that are trying to work on these projects, and to work together, to work across churches and communities of faith, to build up a better rapport with our neighbors, and to start to do that work together is really important. So if we have no video there, we're going to finish off with There's a Spirit in the Air from Voices United.